So I wanted to dress, this is kind of different for me. This is apparently what the new fashion is for kind of your evangelists and stuff, a little bit more hip. But then I come up with my papers and folder and I don't have an iPad, and so I feel kind of out of place trying to dress all hip. Yeah. So what I want to do here tonight is I want to share a little bit about the school. I want to kind of give you guys an update and use that to kind of segue and to our message. Usually we have our kind of school update with the annual meeting, and I share some things, but I do want to share a few things about what's going on in the school that maybe you're not aware of, and maybe you are, but just to kind of fill you in on some things, and then just use that to kind of leapfrog into where our message is going. So with the school, we are getting ready to finish up our first quarter, which means parent-teacher conferences are coming up, and for those of you who are parents, have kids here at the school, sign up sheet for your teachers or as far as having conferences on their doors. Just a reminder there, but we are getting ready to finish up our 9 weeks, as many other school districts are. I know East Allen is, Fort Wayne Community, Southwest, Northwest. A lot of schools are getting there. So this year, one of the things that we have done, we started last year and it was a hit. We have a buddy program that we started at the school where we match a junior high and a high school student in with an elementary student. And last year it was a hit, and this year it's been going great. We have different kind of linger longers where we have donuts or maybe ice cream. So the kids, of course, love that. We have different game activities where they get to work with their buddies. But one of the great things that has been about that is the interaction between them, where they, you know, leave notes on their lockers or color pictures. It's really neat to see a high school student, especially a high school boy, coloring a picture, because they're like, I want to give my buddy a picture. And so I don't think that's necessarily one of those things they consider too much. I think it's great to watch them do that. And so that's been a success and something that we've done starting last year, carrying on to this year. We also have clubs that we've continued on with the school. We started the second semester last year, continuing this year's pickleball club. And the junior high school really enjoy that. We have art club. We have Lego club, which is a hit with the kids. I kind of run with that. And it's always interesting when you have first grade through sixth grade and, you know, you have, you know, 8-10 boxes with thousands of Legos. And it gets pretty crazy in there. And some of the different things that they create is just amazing to see. And sometimes on Facebook, you can see some of those pictures. But we've been trying to, you know, incorporate more different STEM activities and different things with our students here at the school. And the field trips that are taking place as well is great. We have 83 students this year, pre-K through 12. One of the great things that's been going on at school as well is that before, typically, our Amish families that would come in would just come in and leave about kindergarten. Well, right now, we have the most, as far as Amish students, that we've ever had outside of kindergarten. We have 8 from sixth grade down to first grade, which is a big deal because that gives us an opportunity to be a light in that community here at the school. It's one of those things where I know when I first started, I was like, man, I really wish we could tap into that. And now it's, in fact, we have some more that are be shadowing with us here soon. So it's just another great way to be able to outreach into the community around this area. And so with that being said, I do want to just throw out that I know, as you can tell, maybe the white and my beard and other things, that one of the things we are always looking for is, you know, people to come on and support. We appreciate the prayers and the financial support, but we have some that are helping out with clubs, and if that's something you'd be interested in doing is helping out with the club, I'd love to be able to talk to you about that, or even coming on staff and different things like that, or tutoring. There's several educators in this building. Maybe not just here at the school, but educating in East Allen or Fort Wayne. And, when you get a chance to just be around kids, those kids really are that gift from God, that we see in Psalm 127. But I want you to continue to kind of think about the school. I want to share a story with you, okay? And so this story just, if you will, if you know the theme song of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just kind of keep that in mind as I share this story with you. Now, this is a story all about how her life got flipped, turned upside down. I'd like to take a minute just to sit right here and tell you how she became the Schwartz that usually sits over there. In East Fort Wayne, born and partly raised on the Harlan playground, she spent some of her days chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, and playing some volleyball at the Harlan Christian School. When a couple of guys who were at her school started saying, "Isaac was into you," she went on one little date and her dad got scared and said, "Are you sure about him? Just look at his hair." Bailey pulled up to their house after a couple of years and she yelled to her cab, "Yo, Colton, smell you later." She looked at her kingdom. She was finally there to sit on a throne as a princess of over there, because they live on Roth Road. So, no, I share the story of Isaac and Bailey because I think Isaac and Bailey are a great example of what the school means to me and to you guys in our community. So, and Isaac, they met at the school. And now married, and they have a little girl, Evelyn. But they're not the only ones. We have, you know, one of the great things that I have the privilege of doing is being able to go to, whether it's Harlan Days or the Grable Country Fair, and seeing former students who met their spouses at school. And some of them are here today. And I remember teaching them. And I remember going, "I wonder, no, that'll never happen, Mr. Burton. That'll never happen." And sure enough, now their kids are here at the school. There are those who are dating and are about to be married who had an opportunity to grow together at the school. And see, that's one of the things that when I think of the school is I want us to remember that when this was started, there were generations ago where there was older people, leaders, who weren't just focused on the then, but they were looking to what will be. You know, we look at our old church building, and considering we've been in our new building now for, I mean, getting closer to 15 years, that's crazy in my mind. And it's crazy in my mind just because I can remember Jayla helping out Grandpa in the bathrooms, at least in her version of helping out, and it just seemed like it was the other day. And yet that was not just the other day. See, the school is an opportunity to be able to share with the future. See, there's been a lot of accomplishments as we're getting close to 50 years. There's been 50 years of education, 50 years of community involvement, but more importantly, 50 years of gospel spreading. You know, some families are here because they came to Christ through the school. And so as we consider the school, I want you to understand that for me, it's not just a job, it's more than that. That's where my wife was at. That's where my kids are at. That's where your kids are at. So when you consider the school, what it is in many ways, it's just something about, it's just an opportunity to help the future. And that's what I want us to talk about here this evening is I want us to talk about helping the future. It seemed like the other day, the kids were going to, you know, ball. I was taking them bowling, or they were snuggling. And yet, I woke up, and I just wonder what happened. You're in the same boat, many of you, as I am right now. And then I look on the news, and I see the different things that are taking place. Just today, in fact. And I think, what is the future look like? And so that's what I want us to talk about here tonight is I want us to talk about what we now are doing for our future children. You know, it's interesting when I look at the scripture, there's a lot of different passages of scripture that talk about children. Do you realize, in fact, that children are referenced in some form or fashion in the scripture over 1,700 times? That is a crazy amount of times, whether it's talking about, you know, somebody's child in a specific story, whether it's talking about future generations, the scripture finds children to be something important. In fact, the psalmist says in the 127th Psalm, verses 3 through 5, as I referenced earlier, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. You know, it's one of those things that I can remember hearing as a young person about the importance of children and how they're a heritage. And now that I have children, I get it. I totally understand it. I know you teenagers might not feel this way. I know maybe your younger ones might not understand, but to you, to your parents, you are the most blessed thing that they have. Even Jesus Himself found that children and even preached and taught about the importance of children. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. But then the disciples rebuked Him, because I get it. I understand when you're adult, sometimes you're thinking, oh, well, there's more important things for us to do here than to deal with children. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, from the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And notice what He does. And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and He blessed them. Children are amazing. You know, when I try to think of the different superlatives I want to use to describe my children, or children in general, or just the different interactions I have with children, it's to say amazing seems at many times just weak. It doesn't seem like there's a word that can describe the privilege that children are in our lives. And so as we consider children, I just want to share a few thoughts that we, as the local congregation here, things that we need to do for our kids. See, this came to mind because I was actually reading a passage of scripture where Jayla and Asher, we have Bible reading time before they go to bed. And Jayla had in her mind, he's like, I want to read Isaiah. I was like, okay, that's an interesting book, you know, but yeah, we'll read Isaiah. And then Asher's like, well, I want to do Ephesians. And so, well, we'll do Ephesians first and then we'll do Isaiah. And I was reading Isaiah 39 and this really kind of hit me. And I just think it's important for us to just take a little bit of time to talk about our future and our children. So what I want us to consider is our main goal, which is the need to pass information to our children, but to pass spiritual information to our children. See, in Psalm the 71st chapter in verse 18, it says this, it says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare the power to the next generation, your mighty acts for all who are to come. See, the psalmist here is writing and he's concerned about the fact that he feels an intense obligation to make sure that the future understands God. Understands Elohim, understands Jehovah, understands Yahweh. And he wants to not just make sure that they know it, he wants to declare it, which means he wants to proclaim it, to speak out. If he was on a street corner, he would be the one with the sign yelling into a megaphone about God. When it comes to spiritual information, when it comes to the scripture, when it comes to our future children and our children of the now who are the future, I don't know about you, but being 40 now is a little interesting. And I know some of you have experienced that as well, but it is interesting because when I look at my folks, I realize, wow, they definitely look like grandparents now. They look older. And then when I look in the mirror, I'm like, wow, my forehead got bigger. Didn't expect that. Or my beard's a little bit grayer. And as you get older, you realize, wow, I guess I'm a lot closer to being 60 than I am 20. So I feel this intense need now, whether it's in my classroom or whether it's with my children, to tell them about God. See, we should have a concern, as the psalmist has, this intense feeling of obligation to share with them the spiritual information of the scriptures and to proclaim God. The psalmist also says in the 145th Psalm 3-4, he says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." One of the great things about sharing about the scripture is the optimism that the scripture can bring. You know, what's interesting is that as you read through the book of Job and you see all the different heartaches and struggles that Job goes through, you see at the same time, though, that it doesn't end at Job 20 or 21 or 22. But it continues on, and at the very end, you see blessings, you see an offering of praise from Job to God for everything. See, we need to share with our children and our future and our children now that when we're talking about the scripture, that there is an optimism in the scripture, an opportunity to share that there's going to be good things. Yes, I understand that scripture says that the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, and it rains on the just and the unjust. And the scripture does make it quite clear that bad things happen. But see, the scripture is a passage, is inspired hope. Because what the scripture is a proclamation that our unrighteousness doesn't have to be the thing that defines us. That our wickedness and being lost isn't the thing that we have to look forward to. That we have an opportunity to share in Jesus Christ and have eternal hope, love, and trust. And then Joel 1:3. Joel says this, he says, "Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and let their children tell it to the next generation." When it comes to us sharing information, we need to have this feeling of intense duty and desire and obligation. We need to do so with optimism, but we need to do so with the understanding that we are carrying on something that came before us. What is so amazing is that when you think about the Pentecost message, okay, of Peter, that we are carrying a message that has withstood time and has gone from generation to generation to generation. For thousands of years, the message of Christ has been proclaimed. And when it comes to our future and for our children, there is an intense need for us to continue on proclaiming that generation. Or to proclaiming that message, excuse me. And we need to do this because I have found that in Scripture, if we don't have a desire to proclaim the message, to pass the information, to be that light, and that beacon for our children, that there's usually, well, let's look at Isaiah 39 that started all this. If you go to Isaiah 39, we're going to start in verse 3. And this is the passage that, when I read this, it hurt. I shared this at our on Wednesday nights. We have a teacher meeting, we have devotion, and I shared this. And this passage has been bothering me, and I don't see it going away anytime soon. See, to give you a little bit of background, Isaiah chapter 38, Isaiah is told by God to go to King Hezekiah and tell Hezekiah to get your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah is just so distraught. And he's distraught. He cries out to God. He's looking for, just give me more time. God hears his cry and says, "I'll give you 15 more years." I mean, how amazing is that? Is that you're told, okay, it's time to get it ready. And then God says, he relents and says, "I'll give you 15 years. I mean, you think, oh, hey, an extra year or two, but he gives you 15. But then Isaiah 39, there's these envoys that come. And so in verse 3, it says, "And Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, 'What do those men say, and where did they come from? From a distant land?' Hezekiah replied, 'They came to me from Babylon.' The prophet asked, 'What did they see in your palace?' 'They saw everything in my palace,' Hezekiah said. 'There's nothing among my treasures that I did not show them.'" I showed them all my stuff. Like, look at this stuff. It's great stuff. Everybody likes stuff. Who doesn't like stuff? Here's my stuff. Look at my stuff. "Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born of you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.'" And it's verse 8 that has been bothering me. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good. Hezekiah replied, but notice, for he thought, well, there'll be peace and security in my lifetime. Here's a guy who was given 15 extra years. And then hears that his children are going to suffer and figures, well, at least I don't have to deal with it. We have an obligation in the scriptures to prepare our children to seek the next generation, to help them. I mean, and that's why many of you are involved in the different things you do, because there's a lot of different opportunities, whether it's the children's home, whether it's youth camp, whether it's VBS, whether it's Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings. There's all these opportunities. And I know that sometimes those opportunities, or we can get overwhelmed. And I get that. I understand that. But I pray we never become like Hezekiah. I pray I never become like Hezekiah and I figure, well, hey, it's not my dog and pony. I'm not going to have to deal with it. So that's them problem. Hezekiah is told that he's going to have sons that cannot have children. Because of his behavior, his lineage through those sons will die. They won't be able to receive that gift from God that is children. And his response is, I don't have to deal with it. And I wonder in my life, if I just look at things and I just go, you know what? That's the future's problem. I'm not going to have to deal with it. What do I care? And yet I see throughout Scripture, time and again, whether it's the Psalms, whether it's the Proverbs, whether it's Jesus himself, who looks at children and says, prepare these generations. Pass this information. Bring them to me. This is the kingdom. The future is so important. And yet for Hezekiah, he figured, I'll be dead, so what does it matter? I pray that's not our response. Because in Psalm 78, starting verse 2, it says this, "I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." That's one of the great things, is that there have been those who have gone before us who have helped to prepare the way for us. See, I appreciate those men and those women who were part of the school before I was alive. I was born in the mid-80s. I wasn't around in the late 70s. Yet they prepared for a future generation that they would never meet. And my kids are beneficiaries of their preparedness. But it's not even just that. It's the work in the community. See, the school is just one aspect of the work of the congregation as a whole. There's so many different things. And I'm so grateful that our ancestors told us, shared with us, and prepared for us. Verse 4 says, we will not hide from them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach the children. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, one of the things, when the law was given, Moses made it clear, you teach your children the statutes of God. That was an obligation, a requirement that Israel was supposed to foster the next generation, the next generation, and the next generation when it came to God. So he decreed the statutes for Jacob and established law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And this is why it's so important. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why we see in the church universal that there's not a lot of young people is because verse 7 says they would put their trust in God, would not forget and keep his commands. Maybe the problem was that previous generation didn't teach them, and so they forgot. But the psalmist here is talking to Israel. Tell your children, so they put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. So I see here in a second response, the psalmist here is proclaiming out the necessity of training up and teaching the younger generation, the future, because they're the ones who are going to teach the next. And then the next will teach the next and the next. So I guess when I look at something like this, I have to ask myself, so what's my response going to be? Am I going to be Hezekiah, or am I going to be the psalmist? Will I be like the parable that Jesus talks about in Luke, the second chapter, or 12th chapter, excuse me, in verse 16, where he says, and he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there will I store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Focus on me right now. Will I be like this rich man? I see I've got all this stuff. Let me enjoy my stuff while I can. But then we see God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. But then I see Proverbs 24, 13 through 14. Maybe my prayer is this will be my response, where he says here, eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. See, in one, I see a story of a rich man who's focused on himself, on his commodities, on his stuff, and he just wanted to live comfortably. Yet on the other, I see a man who looked at a child, his son, and wanted to share with him wisdom. So, why? So that he could have hope. See, that's one of the great things about salvation is it provides something that we don't have in this world, hope. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, which we look at, especially many times at weddings where there's love, there's three great things, right? We see the greatest is love, but the other two are what? Faith or trust and hope. See, that's the thing is God, through Jesus Christ, can provide us hope. So I can either be the rich man here, or I can simply look to provide hope and wisdom for future generations. So as we consider our future, you know, We consider the future for the school, but also camp, youth rallies. We consider the future for the missions that we support, the congregation here. I mean, one of the neat things that's coming up is we're going to have, you know, a new elder. You know, that's the thing is that, you know, time moves on. And so we have the opportunity for new, you know, with adding new leadership to our current leadership. So what is our future going to look like? What's it going to look like for the school? What's it going to look like for the church, our local body, but also the universal body? What is the future going to look like for the next generation? We're familiar with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, which says, "Start children off in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not turn from it." But the proverb here doesn't start with verse 6. The saying actually starts in verse 5. And in verse 5 it says, "In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who preserve their life stay far from them." See, with the writer of the proverb here is reminding, as he's sharing the importance of training up children and starting up children in the way they should go, he shares that because he says there are paths of wickedness that are there to ensnare and there to entangle and are there to be pitfalls. Let's keep our kids from those. In Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46, as we start to kind of bring things to a conclusion, I want to share Mary's song and prayer. See, this is where Mary is told that she's going to bear the Messiah, the Emmanuel, the God with us. And in verse 46 of Luke 1, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful.'" The wonderful thing about this prayer is the fact that Mary takes time to praise God because she knows the Mighty One, who's done great things for her, it's not just for her. Because his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And that's what we see in Acts, the second chapter. Have you ever considered, you know, the fact that when we have our time, when we think about salvation, that when Peter preaches the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection of Christ, at least the first that we see recorded, in Acts chapter 2, he preaches to them Joel, out of the book of Joel. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, he says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" See, there was a conviction that took place there. "Then Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So he gives instruction. But note the promise. The promise is for you and your children. The promise is for you and the next and the next and the next and the next. "And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And then notice what Peter does. "With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.'" See, I love this promise because it's just a reminder that the promise that we share in is the same promise that will continue on long, long after I'm gone. And if the Lord tarries and all of a sudden who knows, maybe in 23, 35, there'll be a great, 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 great Mr. Burton who'll be up here. And maybe he'll just be up here because this generation helped to prepare the way for the future generations. So my prayer to you, my prayer for myself, is that we look to our future and we help prepare them. We pass the instructions that we are not like Hezekiah, but we're like the psalmist, that we help prepare them to trust in God. Join me in prayer if you would. Father God, we thank you for this day. And as we conclude and we look at the scripture, we see all the different things that we have to be thankful for, that you've given us opportunities. You've given us so many different avenues to be able to share with future generations, whether it's the blessing of the congregation and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, or whether it's VBS or youth group, and the blessing of the different missions we support, whether it's the school, the children's home, and just even, I praise you and thank you, Father God, for those here who in their work, whether they're in the different school districts or whether they're in just different avenues, that they are an opportunity to be a light, to share, and to share with future generations. And I pray, Father God, that one of the things that we take to heart is the desire that you have for us to share for the future, with the future and the next generations. We pray we never take that for granted, Lord God, but we take it to heart. We are so grateful and thankful, and it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.